So we don't have a quorum. We do have new health department members I'd like to introduce you to, if you're willing to, or can we? I hope to do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So no official meeting. However, I was hoping to introduce you all to some of our new staff at the health department. So if I may, first we have Sherry Turner Caprillion, who comes from Frederick South, and I'll let Sherry show her face. She's our new clinical services manager that started yesterday. And so Sherry, I don't know if you'd like to just say hello to our four Board of Health members and introduce yourself. I saw she was on.
She definitely was.
All right, maybe she'll come back.
Can you hear me?
Yes. There you are. Hello.
I was muted. hi, everyone. I am Sherry Turner Caprillion. I am a nurse from the past 27 years. I think I do know Julia.
You do? Hi, there. Yes.
Hi. And look forward to working with the department.
Welcome.
Enjoy.
All right, then we have, next we have Krista Tappa. She is a new nurse practitioner that started 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, yeah. Yep. And so Krista, if you want to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about you.
Hi, I'm Krista Tappa. I've been a nurse for about 10 years now, and this is my first NP role. So I'm excited to get my feet wet in the new role.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And then I think I saw Lupe. Lupe Romero is also our second nurse practitioner because Sandy, we had a vacant NP role for about a year or more. And then Sandy will be retiring officially in July. So we have now refilled both nurse practitioner roles. Sandy is training them and to get them all on board and up to COVID and their regular job that they got hired for. And so, Lupe, are you on and can you introduce yourself?
I'm a nurse, Lupe. Been a nurse for about 5 years, just graduated last year. I've previously worked for KVNA at the Kenosha County Jail. So that's where I've been for about 4.5 years now. So I'm excited to start working here.
Welcome aboard.
And then our fourth one is Amanda Tura. She was in our MAT program with the health department for 6 years. You probably saw her through some of the other presentations. She has moved up to our public health supervisor for communicable diseases. So this was formerly Hortensia's position, and we're very excited to have Amanda in there. So just to make sure you all know who Amanda is, are you here, Amanda?
Hi, I'm here. I have met many of you already.
Hello.
So she has big shoes to fill with COVID. She, you know, nothing but COVID anyway, but now she's in charge of it. So that's what.
It's like we have five people.
Oh, I see Dr. Foster on. Okay.
And Rita Ventura on. So we have a quorum.
Okay, I will back out and let Dr. Gerlach take it.
So let's go. Okay, so let's look at minutes from last meeting.
I move to approve.
We have a second?
I move.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let me go back. I'm trying to load all of these things, but computers don't like it. Hang on. So let's look at the schedule from for 2020. Any questions or changes or thoughts?
So we went a little bit out of order. Is that permissible?
I'm trying to load the agenda, but my computer's acting up. But I know that the schedule is one of them that we have to approve.
No, the. Item three is public comments.
Okay, public comments. Anybody have any comments? All right, having none. Hang on. Trying to get back to that.
Chairman's comments.
All right, let me go here. So, okay, chairman's comments. Everything seems to be going fairly well. I think things are calming down a little bit. I hope everybody is healthy and not having any other problems. That's about all I have. Now onto the schedule.
So we have basically a gap in meetings after today. I know we switched from April to May because of COVID. And then the gap was not to have another meeting until September, but then to start monthly in 2021. But because of the gap this year with the number of meetings you all agreed on, it's September, October, November, December, and then monthly in 2021. So essentially the monthly would start in September. I just wonder if there will be a need in between now and September.
Can we just call the next meeting
for us to meet?
Two people were talking. I'm sorry, I missed the comment.
This is Diane. Do you have a need for us to meet?
I think yes. I feel like there's potential, and with the fast moving train of everything, there is always things to talk about and things to meet on. But if I recognize you were used to having a period of time off. So maybe if there was just, John, would we say one in August in order to get back together after things have gone through the county? I mean, you can wait till September if you think, I mean, whatever.
It'd be all right. If we can always call a meeting in August.
August is fine with me.
August is fine with me.
Yep.
That'll work.
That's fine.
So we'll add one for August. And Karen will send out an invite on that.
Great. Thank you.
So do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I approve.
Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On to bylaws. You all had copies of that. I have just a couple of questions. One, this would start with the January meeting, right? And two, with officers, would it be that they could do their 2 years and then offer 2 years and then they could repeat the office? Is that a possibility? And then three, we had discussed a little bit in the past. Are the number of terms for general board members limited or no?
So the first question about would this start in January, part of the issue is we have the two vacancies right now, but we can't fulfill them until we change the bylaws to reflect our new structure of how we want it. So I would prefer not to wait till January. The thought was to get this through Human Services Committee and the County Board in July so we could move forward with filling those vacancies.
Okay, but what I'm talking about is like the how long the terms are and everything.
Oh, I see. So starting,
Rita, and I probably missed the meeting where you guys actually had discussions about this, but what prompted the 2 year term versus a little longer?
I think the discussion.
For officers?
Did you mean for officers?
Yeah, I don't know as we had, we did election every year for officers, but we didn't have term limits in the past.
And I guess my thought was just that, I mean, it, you know, considering you, we typically have only had 6 meetings a year, that 2 years is kind of a short term for that. You know, by the time you really get the ball rolling and that, you know, it's time to turn over to someone new and for some consistency, would it be better to have that term a little bit longer? Just, that was just my question when I reviewed the material. And again, I know you probably talked about this in the meeting that I missed.
Yeah, I think the thought was because we were going to monthly and then to give more people opportunities to step up into new roles.
Jen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is John Moyer. I thought that we had talked about amending the bylaws to reflect a 5-year term with staggered terms, but maybe we changed that or decided against that. That was what I had redlined in.
That's in section 4.3. I think the question about the 2-year was for, not for the full members, but for officers.
Okay.
What's everybody's consensus, that the officer position should be longer or the 2-year?
That's what I would think, but again, I there may have been more discussion about some of the reasoning behind that, so just caught my attention.
Anyone else have thoughts?
I can see it both ways.
I would also, I'm sorry, Julia. I would also think longer terms are more appropriate. I'm not sure how easy or hard it would be to get. I don't even know if everybody wants to do it necessarily. It is a bigger commitment, some years more than others. And at least when I was chairman, I felt a greater, I literally would take the entire day off every time we had a meeting because that was the only way I could be sure I'd get there. And for some folks, maybe, well, it's true. Mm-hmm. So I lost a day of pay and I'm not complaining about that. That was fine. But not everybody can be sure they can get there unless they take the day off. We work continually through the entire day and we don't stop for lunch. So.
With having a 2-year commitment is if we're doing 5-year terms for members, that could leave somebody with an odd year. So if they're in year 4 or finishing year 4, then they only have 1 year left, but yet a 2-year term for office.
That could also be true for if we have a 3-year term. I mean, because you've got, you know, carryover. I think it sounds like people are saying, let's make it a 3-year term. I mean, because people are talking, I've heard 2 votes now kind of in a sense of saying it should be longer. I have not done it. I don't know how long, you know, I've not served as an officer, but one of the questions I have is it possible to do kind of a rotating situation where you are the vice chair for a year and then you flip into a 2-year term for chair, you know, so that we have some training going on, because right now we could completely turn it over and have a brand new chair and a brand new vice chair, which leads to, you know, Jen having to train the chair.
Right. And it would really have to be a 2-year and a 2-year, because when the vice chair steps up into the chair position, then the person that steps into vice chair would be
right
there for 2 years.
Right. So in a sense, you would do a 2-year
and a
knowing that you're going to then pivot forward into a 2-year. Now, obviously, the board could always choose not to vote that person in, but we could at least have the idea that we are training and
right
in that idea.
Right.
In 4.4 of the bylaws, doesn't it talk about the actual term of the officer is 1 year and it can't be more than 2 consecutive 1-year terms?
I thought it said 2-year terms.
2 consecutive 1-year terms. But we could change that, could we not?
Yeah, because right now it's 1-year terms, but it's unlimited.
So we could change that to no more than 3 consecutive 1-year terms.
Okay. I could see doing that.
I think that sounds great.
That's fine. That's fine. Yep.
Also.
Yep.
Same 4.4. I'm sorry.
I would be happy to have somebody take the vice chair away from me. That would be okay too.
That's sort of what I was getting at. I'm not sure if Roy's gonna, some years you may have a lot of volunteers, some years you may have lots going on, and you know.
Well, this next 2 years I do.
Well, yeah.
Thought.
And in that same 4.4, I had just suggested February. Maybe that was always your annual meeting, but to officially make February the annual meeting, did that work for everybody?
Yeah, it was always the first meeting of the year.
So then we should change that to January then.
It usually was January. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And then back to my question of, can somebody go out of the office and then years later go back into the office?
I don't think so. Do we need to state anything, John, to make that clear?
It's not, you know, it's not limited by the language currently in there. I don't think you have to explicitly you know, the limitation is on more than now 3 consecutive years. So you just take your off, you can come back.
It's consecutive, yeah.
Okay.
And then are there number of term limits or term limits on general board members?
I didn't see one.
My knowledge, there hasn't been.
Wanting to make sure on that. So any other questions on the bylaws?
Well, do we want to take up the issue of membership, Jen? The reason to ask in 4.2, because, you know, we've talked about following either the statute, which is very open-ended, and it basically just requires, it allows some flexibility.
John Jansen's recommendation was stick as close to as possible. I know there's definitely talk of, though, making sure that there's one city of Kenosha appointed, one Kenosha County board member, and then the rest in 4.2 was left pretty vague. So we had talked about covering the social determinants of health. We talked a lot about mental health, having mental health representatives. It was left pretty open and vague to say efforts to recruit persons with backgrounds and appropriate education credentials and various social determinants of health, not limited to law enforcement, mental health, housing, transit, commerce, persons with background or science and public health. So, I mean, it was left pretty open and vague with soft language to say, we want to make sure that we don't have such a medical model that we focus on the social determinants of health. But it did specify in 4.1, every effort to have one nurse, one physician, and in 4.2, a city of Kenosha and a county board member, but the rest was left very open and vague with emphasis.
I mean, is that where we want to go? We're taking out the dentistry, former dentistry.
We had talked about taking out the dentistry.
okay with leaving it vague, because we might just be able to then adjust it to the changing times and needs.
Exactly.
I think flexibility is the best approach, you know, for this.
It doesn't lock us into something.
What it really locks us into, it doesn't even lock us into one nurse and one physician. All of the bylaws say right now are locking us into one city representative and one county board member. So that's, those are the only two that it really locks us into. So that leaves seven other positions as we deem fit, given the current times and situation.
I mean, the statute does require a good faith effort to appoint a registered nurse and a physician, a good faith effort. So we probably want to have that language in here.
Yeah, that's in 4.1.
Right. So we want to keep that, but
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. The only other part that I wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable with was the 6.1 and essentially 6.3 about being able to send a designee.
Is the purpose of that simply so that we make sure that we have a quorum? Because the designee cannot vote. So is that basically saying I'm going to be able to then make sure the meeting goes on?
In other boards I've been a part of, yes. But if that's what you're comfortable with. We did include video conference as well in 6.2 so that we can ensure that we're covered by having these forms available in the future too.
So that basically somebody could call in if they weren't going to have time to leave work, drive to the meeting, and then get back in time. They could just call in and be able to be a part of it as well.
Yep, if that's what you're comfortable with.
I like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes I end up with patients that stick around or come in late, and it's a good 15 minute or more to drive to there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Diane. That really opens up availability, I think.
That was sort of the intent, because I know we talked about attendance in the past, and you know, so if you have a designee who can at least come take notes, or if they're knowledgeable enough to, you know, speak up or give it your opinion or whatever, that would allow more quorum and more interaction via in person or telephone conference or video conference. And then, but they just can't vote.
Any other questions?
Okay. Nope. Those are just the ones I wanted to point out. I mean, the rest is all pretty standard, you know, the conflicts of interest, ethics, and reimbursement. If you go to conferences, you know, just some of that language all is added in there. I feel very good about where it sits now. I'm comfortable with that. With the changes. So we have the change to January and three, no more than three consecutive years. Those were the two edits.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a motion to approve as amended?
Move to approve as amended.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Was that I, the last I for opposed?
No, that last I was not knowing how to work this damn thing.
Right.
You're killing me with this stuff, guys.
Okay, it took me forever to get on.
All right, Jim, try and do it while you're driving.
No. I don't think so.
I didn't actually admit to that, and I did pull over eventually, so.
I can't even drive while I'm driving. I don't know that I could do this while I was driving.
All right. Health officer's report. Dan, how are you surviving? We lost you.
I was going to say, Jen's on a... Jen's got low bandwidth.
Uh,
Can we just skip her for a second and come back?
On to corporate council report.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of, it's been very busy with health related legal issues, and mainly what I would say is that I've been spending most of my working hours responding to public record requests related to coronavirus. In fact, if Jen could hear me, I was hoping I could speak to Mark Melotic or someone about one of those public record requests that remains outstanding. But yeah, it's just been busy with responding to that, over thousands of pages of documents, mostly emails that have to be redacted and looked at, and responding to those. You know, not to mention all the other issues with, you know, responding to the coronavirus and responding to how the county, with the safer at home orders and things like that, that have been going on. So it's been a very busy time in the legal realm as well with the COVID-19 crisis. So I guess that's my filler for what's been going on here.
John, what is your opinion or thoughts on that, tracking people via their phone or other device that have been COVID positive?
I honestly haven't looked closely at that issue. I mean, I guess, you know, all those protections are up for review when it comes to a public health situation like this. But normally that's, you know, off limits because it's not in compliance with privacy rights. And I think most people are very fearful of giving up those kinds of rights. But again, all bets are off when it comes to a health situation like we're in. I honestly, I don't know where they're going to land on that. But I haven't read a lot about that that issue as far as what's being considered. Is there some legislation that's been proposed or something?
No, I just see that some areas are trying to work on doing that. Some of the tech companies have come out with apps or that you can do it where you can actually track if there's COVID positive people in your area, or some businesses or companies were wanting to track COVID positives. Yes, Jen, you're on now.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. No. Yes. You look muted, but yeah, you're on.
Sorry. No, keep talking. I was going to say I can jump in when you're done telling about the.
Well, that's fine. I'm done.
A question
about the monitoring. And I think it's going to run into some significant challenges, you know, privacy challenges, but where it'll land, I don't know. And I'd kind of be curious. I don't know what Jen would feel about that kind of tracking, or whether she'd favor such a thing or not. I think it's going to be a hard sell.
I think, and I apologize, my computer cut out there for a minute. I think with the compliance level we're getting now, that would prove even more or less compliant. You know, that requires people to be accurate and honest and put in that they're positive. And the kinds of, since the Safer at Home has been lifted, we are seeing way less compliance. People are not telling us about their household members, whether they're even sick or not, let alone giving us their names or allow, you know, before when the Safer at Home, people would put it on speakerphone, we'd educate the whole family, talk about isolation versus quarantine. They don't want to know their positive test results because they still want to go to work. We have people who, when we are dropping off a thermometer and a cloth mask, that's something unique that Kenosha County has been doing as part of the monitoring. When we ask them to take their temperature twice a day, if they don't have a thermometer, we give them one. And when we go to their houses, there's been more and more people with barbecues and parties, even though there's somebody positive living in the house. And so I don't think that the Google phone tracking thing, whatever, it would be too sporadic at best.
Diane, I have a question to John. John, you're reporting for anything on virus in your department. Is that being tracked by the financial department in case of reimbursement?
Are you talking about the record requests?
Anything to do with the virus, the pandemic? Are you keeping track of that financially so that there's any cost to your department? I understand we have the software available to do that. It's being flagged in other departments, like the health department itself, that if there's any additional cost to your department because of the pandemic, in case there's a reimbursement through the state from the feds or anything like that.
I'm not aware of that, Supervisor. I can talk to Joe Cardamone, who, if it's happening, it's through him. I have not been made aware that's going on, that we're tracking our time related to virus response and legal work with relation to the virus. But I can check with Joe on that issue. I can just tell you that, yeah, and Jen Freiheit, I think, knows this, but yeah, there's been a lot of public record requests that go through our office that take up a significant amount of time, and they're all related. Well, yeah, I got one that was not related to the virus. That was a different public records request. But the ones that have been taking up a lot of time and are voluminous are the public record requests related to the virus.
Thank you.
How are we doing with businesses having their plan and at least being safe?
I think the vast majority are calling us. They are either wanting a phone consultation, or in some instances we're going out and they're giving us like a tour or walking through and saying, if I put plexiglass here, I do this or I do that. They sort of want the blessing of the health department, if you will. We're working with businesses that maybe have smaller outbreaks by taking the Kickstart plan, walking them through that, giving them the recommendations, things that we think from a public health standpoint are best practices, and helping them with that. So certainly there's no teeth to that. There's no order anymore. So they are just recommendations or best practices. So the businesses have the choice what to implement and what not to.
Are you getting any issues or having any issues with the protests, the Black Lives Matter?
So we're tracking that, but we don't have any data in yet because those all went on all sort of last week, and because somebody can get sick up to 14 days afterwards. So we're tracking that over the next 2 weeks.
Are you having any issues with that other than the COVID?
Like issues as far as within the health department? No.
Okay. Anyone else have questions or concerns?
I just have a question about antibody testing, because right now we've been doing the antigen testing, and I've had a couple people ask me whether public health is going to do antibody testing, and I kind of said, look, let's get through the virus first and, you know, worry about who's symptomatic and who's sick and that kind of thing. But what are people's thoughts? And I know I've read that there's, you know, some questions about the efficacy of the antibody tests, and also even what they mean as far as, you know, what level is going to be necessary to not get it again. Is it going to be the kind of thing where we even have that kind of immunity? I mean, there's just so much we don't know. But what is the kind of official response on this?
My thought is that, yeah, we don't know if antibodies are going to be doing really producing immunity. Mm-hmm. Aurora is doing an in-house research program. Mm-hmm. We're testing about 10,000 employees with the antibody tests. And we'll be doing some tracking and trying to determine if it does cause immunity, if people that have been asymptomatic are building up antibodies and all of those things. But that's 10,000 people within the Wisconsin and Illinois footprint of Aurora Advocate employees.
That's cool.
Yeah, as far as public health is concerned, I mean, it's not a confirmatory test, and that's what people we keep getting the calls for. They want their golden ticket to ride through the community. And antibody testing is not a confirmatory test. That is the bottom line, even when it does become a much higher confidence interval. So it's not there. The state of Wisconsin is doing some research that the closest to us is in Racine with some former research participants. So the jury's still out. There's a lot of research still going on. We certainly have a placeholder for that in our long game testing strategy, but we're not there. And I don't know that the medical science and the epidemiological science will be there to have that be a viable testing option. And, you know, even before we get the vaccine, we sort of have it in our testing strategy in the middle, like between now when we're testing and when we get the vaccine. I don't know that we'll even get there within that time frame. At which point, when the vaccine comes, then that sort of renders that less important.
Right. So all the ads that are going by on Facebook about, you know, go over here and you know, this health food store has the antibody test and this, that, and the other, you know, how can we, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean anything. How do we, is it simply word of mouth that we should be directing people to, like, hold back on that?
Yeah, I mean, we keep answering direct questions that we get through our research line. I talk about it almost every Wednesday night on the county board meeting. Do we do some direct press? I know that Kenosha News has done something about the antibody test in the past. I don't know how further we can make that clear.
Okay.
And I don't think people are going to listen.
True.
Not likely.
Time is better spent elsewhere. Not okay. Something that's going to hurt, but it's not going to help.
Got it.
Well, I just wanted to add under the health director report that, you know, so clearly, like, COVID has not backed down for us. We are still swamped. People are tired. It's been 3 months nonstop. And we still have all the other public health services we need to try to bring back in that were, you know, there's still desperate need for STI testing in the county. Immunizations are low. I mean, there's so much more we need to get back to. So we're desperately trying to get more workforce and people that can help take some of the COVID load off so our staff can get back to normal job duties. So, you know, we've been trying to figure out the long range testing strategy. We've been trying to figure out how much money we'll get from the CARES funding and so that we can hire the appropriate people. Still doing contact investigation and disease investigation, although the culture has changed in the community. I mean, the will is gone. So we are actually right now in the middle of a strategic plan for the pandemic alone. Early on when we did our strategic plan to say, okay, what's our mission? What are our critical missions for COVID? It was containment measures, isolation, quarantine, social distancing, and education. How do we educate the public? So we spent a significant amount of time with the media, significant amount of time educating through various means. And the people's ears aren't hearing it anymore. They don't, I think we've COVIDed out. So now we're going through a new strategic plan this week to sort of determine what is our critical mission now moving forward and how do we readjust. So we're sort of in a harm reduction mode of how do we reduce the harm, because our previous tools of testing and contact investigation are not allowing us to box in the virus like we'd want to. So more to come on that as soon as we get our new direction of how we want to move forward in a public health fashion. Our phones are still blowing up with every question under the sun. So we're still able to keep up 100% on our phone calls. You know, we have a research team that anything we can't answer immediately, they're researching, we're getting answers out, doing that sort of thing. But we are working on our reopening plan and how we get services back going, given that we're still very much in the deep of COVID. And so we're stressed staff-wise to what's going on. And then we bring in these four new people and we say, guess what? You're doing COVID until you go to your real job. And so, for example, we brought back STI urine testing this week. Later in the month, we'll bring back new contraceptive clients that we haven't been able to take on. We've only been able to maintain current contraceptive clients. So our reproductive health clinic will try to slowly phase back in. And in early July, we'll bring back immunizations, TB skin tests, you know, all of that. So we're slowly trying to bring services back in, whereas our clinics are teeny tiny and it doesn't allow us to social distance. So we're also trying to figure out new plans, new plexiglass, masking policies, all of that for the public coming in so that we can try to serve our community better again. That was just a real brief. And as far as our two vacancies, gathered names from you, gathered names from others, put that list to the county executive. Two people were chosen. One will be going before all the proper channels that I'm still learning. It was Charmaine Harris that some of you might know with WIC, the WIC program. And that will also bring us a little more into statutory compliance for our Board of Health with our representation of the community and diversity. So Charmaine brings a whole host of experience as far as working through WIC and Uptown and the fatherhood initiatives and all sorts of things. So we'll get that information to you. And so then hopefully that will go through July-ish. And then we'll have, and as soon as the bylaws go through, we can fill that second position and we'll have those people in early fall. So then we'll have a full board again.
Sounds good.
So that was it for my report.
All right. Any other business? Okay, so looks like time to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Right, so we'll see us in August. Have a great day, guys.
All those in favor, say aye.